watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there.
Boeheim! Woo! Wow, is that silence in a little bit?
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
Stop
up.
It.
Pop pass over the middle. Tucker's got it. Room to run. 15-10. Hit in for an orange touchdown.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Allen looks to his left. Fires left side. In go to the end zone. Stephon Diggs makes the catch. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Swing into this. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
Yeah, you know, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men.
Here on ESPN Radio, 97.7, 100.1. ESPN Radio, Utica-Rome, heard. 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are, whatever you are doing on the ESPN app. All great places to catch the program. Some of you shoveling more snow than others today, as we discussed yesterday. What is a significant snowfall? Well, somebody out there in certain bands of lake effect snow probably got more than they expected last night. Significant snowfalls. Your back porches look great. Thanks for sharing the pictures. It snowed at your house, too. Congratulations, everybody. That about 4 or 5 inch pile of snow on the grill, on that little table that you leave on the back porch all winter long, the bird feeder, whatever the case may be. Everything's looking good and pristine. Your backyards look amazing. Nice job raking the leaves before the snow came and everything. So good. So good to see everybody's backyards once again today. So it snowed. Let it snow. Let it snow. Let it snow. As it is our last show of the week. I know you're sad about it. Thanksgiving week, of course. Now, we'll be here tomorrow for Syracuse basketball pregame. It's going to be a pregame, basically, of the entire battle for Atlantis, the start of three games. We don't know who Syracuse will play Thursday or Friday, of course. We can kind of overview the battle for Atlantis and kind of see how things are going, which Donna DeToto will help us do, by the way, in about 15 minutes. Looking forward to our friend and Syracuse basketball beat reporter joining the program right here in this hour at 4:20, so we do not have a show tomorrow. On the Block, taking the holiday break for a few days. We do have a pregame show for you, though, because Syracuse and VCU will tip at 5 o'clock tomorrow, so I will be here to preview not only that matchup, but what Syracuse could face in the battle for Atlantis. But to off the rest of the week, our last show of the week today, and we're looking forward to it, whether you're listening or watching on QSportsTalk.com. Hello to our friends there who are watching the show. They are chatting in the live chat, and they are also going to get exclusive content during radio breaks, because the radio audience, when we go to commercial breaks, that's what you hear. The QSportsTalk.com audience, they keep the conversation flowing with us, the questions in the chat, the commentary in the chat, and the exclusive groundbreaking stories. Like yesterday, as a matter of fact, when it comes to exclusive content, if you watched on QSportsTalk.com, you saw how I had to dress like Tommy Hogan per the bet that I lost on the Colts-Bills game. Pardon me while I adjust the microphone there for a second. But QSportsTalk.com, that is where it's all happening, friends. Watch parties, pre- and post-game shows, our regular programming, On the Block, Orange Nation, Exit 31, exclusive coaches shows with Dino Babers and Jim Boeheim, and, I mean, the list goes on and on, folks. The list goes on and on. If maybe you've seen the commercial floating around on the social media, that does not include me. Just because I call it the little feed sometimes doesn't mean you can't put me in the commercial. I mean, I understand it's a visual thing, and maybe you don't want to advertise me. If I dress up like Tommy Hogan again, will you put me in the commercial? Maybe Tommy made the commercial. He like led the commercial. That's how it goes around here. See what that deal is. Anyway, those are both great ways to take in the show. So please do either one. Either one. QSportsTalk.com is that's where the hip cats are at, though. So we mentioned Donna is going to join us. We're certainly going to talk some Syracuse football, kind of stuff some things together, if you will, before we part ways for the week. Look ahead to Thanksgiving Thursday, including the Bills getting back in action against the Saints, the so-called kind of focus primary game, the primetime game, the Sunday night game, if you will, Sunday night football broadcast crew on NBC. Actually, it's Tirico and Drew Brees, right? It's not even Al Michaels and Collinsworth. We get Tirico and Brees for that matchup. But hopefully the Bills show up in primetime because they didn't show up against the Colts. Hence why I had to dress like Tommy on the show yesterday. Tommy and I are going to have a little fun during the blind side. We're going to do our Thanksgiving Mount Rushmores, kind of draft our Thanksgiving Mount Rushmores. We'll see what the difference is. By the way, this struck me today, just a little kind of side note, fun thing that I know you guys like hearing. So I went over to Syracuse football player interviews today. And, you know, typically this time of the year, people are doing fun things. The TV reporters will ask things like, hey, what's your favorite Thanksgiving dish or pie or things like that, just kind of fun stuff. Overwhelming majority of Syracuse football players, their favorite side dish for Thanksgiving was mac and cheese. I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, is mac and cheese a Thanksgiving thing? You can have mac. You can have whatever you want on Thanksgiving. This is America. You can put whatever you want on that table, but I don't know, man. I kind of question that. Thanksgiving, mac and cheese, like that's borderline. I don't know if you can say that. Like, it's got to be a Thanksgiving thing, right? And the correct answer is stuffing, by the way. That is the correct answer. Anyway, little side note from the player chat, if you will, today. But here's where I want to start today. I'm going to say this again while leaving the window of possibility open, because you have to these days. You can't really say anything, particularly a story like this that has many moving parts, with any kind of finality. So just leave the window open. This could change. But it is my firm belief that Dino Babers is coaching this team next year, no matter what happens on Saturday. It is my belief he will be back for another season. I believe, in fact, that he knows that. And all parties involved that need to know that. I'm not sure when John Wildhack will rubber stamp that, because if by some chance you beat Pittsburgh on Saturday, you pull the upset, think of the good feeling that is, think of the momentum that you can gain from that. You don't even have to announce it at that point. It's just obvious. But the reason this is a discussion is the thin line that Syracuse is straddling right now. Had they won one more football game to this point, and I'm not just saying that because that's what the math says, because they're sitting at 5-6. We all saw the close games where they were right there, literally came down to the last play. You get one of those games, you've already won six. This is not a discussion. This thing was shelved weeks ago. But what has happened is it's come down to the last game, whether or not Syracuse goes to a bowl game or not. And the accepted standard from all parties involved, university, fans, media, was, they make a bowl game, this is not a discussion. You keep going, as is. Okay. 5-7, what I said about 5-7, which was my official prediction, by the way, at the beginning of the season, what does it look like? What does it feel like? You can't just say, well, 5-7, no matter what, fired. Move on. Change the coach. I said, that's not how these things work, particularly with the contract situation. How's the team playing? What does it look like? What does it feel like? And see, that's the trick with these discussions sometimes, because there are those that just say, look at the facts. Look at the numbers. Look at the record. Look at X, Y, and Z. What are we waiting for here? Now, I can throw a lot of numbers at you here, but there are a few that I think we have to kind of take into consideration. Should Syracuse lose to Pittsburgh on Saturday, as most would expect, again, it's sports, the minute you know what's going to happen, The football gods will punish you for that. The football gods will pull something out, some magic trick, some upset, something nobody saw coming, which harkens back to the great expression, you think you know, but you have no idea. Okay, but even if Pittsburgh plays their twos, their backups, and just kind of runs basic stuff, this is a team that averages over 40 points per game. As a Heisman Trophy finalist, in my opinion, he'll be in New York, and Kenny Pickett, one of the best run defenses in the ACC in the country. You know the resume of Pittsburgh by now. It's not looking good. It's an uphill battle. It's not impossible, but should Syracuse lose this game as expected, that is one winning season and one bowl game in 6 years. That's a fact. That's a number. That is something you cannot maneuver, massage, or get around. It is right there in front of you. Okay? In Dino Babers' tenure, since he took over in 2016, when it comes to facing the ACC, okay, Syracuse's record is 24-42. That's the second worst mark in the ACC. Only Duke is worse, and because they have one more game at 24-43. So they're essentially the same. Syracuse, Duke, bottom of the pile. That's a fact. That's a number. Can't get around that. In the last 11 games alone, and this is a shorter window, of course, and we all know what 1-10 was last year and why 1-10 was last year and the injuries and everything that was factored into that. I think you always have to be fair and say, look, 2020 was weird. But what 2020 was 1-10, no matter how you slice the pie. So factoring that in Syracuse's last 11 games against the Power 5, they are 2-9. Vanderbilt's 0-10, Arizona's 1-9, Kansas is 1-9, Colorado's 2-8, Duke is 2-8, Florida is 2-9. That got Dan Mullen fired. Dan Mullen, who was like 35-14, his overall coaching record at Mississippi State, Florida, 9 seasons as a coach, 103-61. Every Syracuse fan on the planet would run over their grandmother to get that. Okay, 103-61, you kidding me? You would want that record. You need that record. You get that record. I could keep throwing numbers at you here. This is more of a feeling than a fact to me, but my feeling, my educated guess, my educated opinion on this is that Syracuse does not want to buy out Dino Babers' contract. They don't want to pay, whether it was Dino or Joe Smith, they don't want to pay a football coach for 3 years not to coach their football team. And then go hire a staff, a new coach that's got to be bigger, bolder than the last staff. In a marketplace where the Virginia Tech job is open, the USC job is open, the LSU job is open. There's 13 jobs, Florida, as we mentioned, open, and with more to come after this weekend. You are jumping into an insane marketplace where Mel Tucker, who's done a great job at Michigan State, but the dude's been there 5 minutes and just got a $95 million contract. So this is part fact, part feeling, but do you really think Syracuse is going to pay that kind, not that kind of money? I know they're not going to pay that kind of money to anybody, but do you feel like they can seriously jump into that kind of marketplace and come out with the coach they want? Let me answer that for you. It's no. There's not enough qualified candidates out there. What you'd essentially be doing is looking for another Dino Babers, meaning you've got to mine the MAC. You've got to mine Power 5 assistant coaches. You've got to mine somebody on the up and up. And there's a lot of great football coaches out there. But you're not making a change and making a splash. You're not going to do that. You're not going to get one of the big names out there, whatever those big names are. Again, no one knew Doug Marrone's name until Doug Marrone was announced as the head coach. Didn't come up once in that discussion. Dino Babers' name didn't come up once until we got the report that he'd been hired. Like, who? Right? So all these people, you look around and all these coaches and who's good at the MAC, and you still miss it. So That's part fact, part feeling. The feeling of he's well-liked. The feeling of, by and large, this is a clean program. Okay, I don't know all where all the skeletons are buried, and you know, you always want to be cautious about nothing happens with that football team, because look what happened with women's basketball. You just, you know, you can't say these things definitively, but by and large, this is a program that's run right with good people. There's exceptions to all rules. You got 100 football players, things are going to happen. Another fact is a number of players have transferred out of the program. But see, that's a fact of life in college football these days. That's not necessarily a reflection on the coach or the program. It's a reflection on the era we're in, how different it is now versus 5 years ago when Dino Babers was hired. Name, image, and likeness, it was discussed, but it was a pipe dream. It's now a reality. The transfer portal, you could transfer, but you had to do it the old-fashioned way. Now you can walk out the door and have a new team next week. The threat of players leaving, and Sean Tucker was asked about this today, and let me reiterate this point. You can't put it all on one player, but man, if there's somebody who breaks that rule, who is the exception to the rule and is kind of the norm of this conversation now, you cannot lose Sean Tucker to the transfer portal. He was asked about it today. He said that he believes strongly he will be back next year, but he does want to have a discussion with his family. And he was asked directly if there was a coaching change, could that factor in your decision? And he said yes. So I think those two are tied at the hip. I feel like one way or the other, they're both coming back. But if for some reason one didn't, the other wouldn't either. So it's all or nothing there. Again, that's one player. But it's a really, really important player. He's the linchpin that holds everything together. How does it feel? How does it look? There's one more fact here that is to be determined, and that is the outcome of Saturday's game. If they beat Pitt, this is not a discussion. But it has come down to this game. It has been left open-ended by the final scores in a lot of close games that did not go your way, and this being the third opportunity in three games to clinch that sixth win in the bowl game. And not only the fact of a bowl bid, but the feeling of a bowl game, of six wins, what that represents, who you are, and the club you're in. There's 82 teams that go to bowl games. There's 40-something teams that do not, right? For all the kind of people that's, everybody gets a bowl game. I got a bowl game the other day when I filled up my gas tank at Burn Dairy. Like, hey, congratulations. You're going to the Pinstripe Bowl. Oh, you got tickets to the Pinstripe Bowl? No, you're going to the Pinstripe Bowl. You're in, right? That's what it feels like with bowl games. You don't want to be somebody who doesn't get that, right? But, hey, the guy that just was in line before me, he's going to the Pinstripe Bowl. No, I'm sorry, sir. No, we ran out. We have no more bowl bids. But, like, the five people ahead of me all got bowl bids. No, I'm sorry. We don't have any more. You don't want to be that team. So the mixture of facts versus feelings here is a fascinating discussion to me. I gave you the records. I gave you the numbers. If, in fact, Syracuse loses, Dino Babers would be the only head coach in the Power Five that would have five losing seasons in 6 years. Now, you can really kind of look at the numbers. David Cutcliffe had nine losing seasons in 15 years. He's likely out at Duke. Scott Frost has only been at Nebraska for 4 years, but they're all losing seasons. You know, Pat Fitzgerald has been at Northwestern, as an example, since 2006. He has a total of two losing seasons. Or, let me take that back. He has six losing seasons, two of those in the last 6 years. He's been there since 2006. I mean, now you're comparing apples to oranges here. It's not a direct comparison, but that stood out to me. Look at the ACC coaches that have been there for at least 5 years. Dave Clawson only has two losing seasons. Dabo has one. Dave Doran has two. Pat Narduzzi at Pitt has one. Bronco Mendenhall has been there the exact amount of time that Dino has. He has two losing seasons. Justin Fuente had two losing seasons at Virginia Tech. He got fired. Dino would be standing on a mountaintop alone with five losing seasons in 6 years. That's hard to defend, if that doesn't include a bowl game, which that wouldn't even be the number. because you wouldn't have five losing seasons. You'd have four losing seasons, a 500 year, and a winning season, which it's not great. It's kind of the cranberry sauce of coaching records, but it's good enough. Some people do enjoy cranberry sauce. I'm one of those people, by the way, and I'm on that hill. So this is a facts versus feeling debate with one fact left to be determined. Syracuse wins that game on Saturday. Discussion over. You still might grumble about it, but the discussion's over. They lose that game, it's open-ended. And you've got to decide what's more important to you, the numbers or the feeling. And on that note, we will break because our good friend Donna DeTota is going to join us here shortly. We're going to talk some Syracuse basketball as we get ready for the battle for Atlantis. What should we take away from the Colgate game that we feel will be a long-term issue versus a short-term issue? As I wrote, if you read that column in the newspaper today, I appreciate that. It was up on Syracuse.com as well on Monday. Was this more of a Colgate thing or was this more of a Syracuse thing?
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. This is On the Block.
All right, welcome back, friends. Great to have you here on the block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. As you see, if you are watching us, and you will hear shortly, Jordan and Tommy have joined me in studio. We had a lot of fun with this around Halloween time, and I figured going into another holiday break here, we will enact an on-the-block draft. So the draft is this, Thanksgiving. Not just food, though. These are all elements of Thanksgiving, okay? And remember, this is a personal draft. This is not like the definitive Thanksgiving draft.
Yes.
Or a definitive Mount Rushmore. These are our choices, right? So we're all going to make four picks. Jordan, in what was a wild shootout during the break, by the way, if you were watching on QSportsTalk.com, won at the buzzer over Tommy. So Jordan will get the first pick. So the order will go Jordan, Tommy, myself. Let's just say my shooting was not up to snuff.
No.
During the break. So, Jordan, I turn it over to you with the first pick. Man. In the 2021 Thanksgiving draft.
How is this for
Jordan
anticlimactic?
Selects. Okay.
Can I ask a question first?
Yes.
Are
yes.
individual food items on the table or no?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
That makes this a lot tougher. But I've got mine. I might be reaching for this first pick, but it's anything Thanksgiving. I want to go picking at the food after mealtime in cycles.
So leftovers. Leftovers.
But not just leftovers. You got to make like four, five, six trips back throughout the
ball. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Yeah, like you have the meal, but you're still like, ooh, the turkey's still out. You're picking here. You're picking there. Maybe a little, that extra sliver of pie when no
you're
one's looking.
You're shaking your head. Have you ever eaten too much on Thanksgiving and not been able to try everything? Dude, it's heartbreaking.
I'm going to say.
Every year.
I'm going to say picking at leftovers.
Yes.
Yeah, leftovers stink.
That's
though.
A reach for the like first pick.
Dude.
Yeah. I got to say, that's a real reach for the first pick.
Part.
But some people it's your, it's your pick. It's your pick. All right, Tommy. Second pick.
I feel pretty good about this second pick. I'm surprised it didn't go number one.
Okay.
I'm going to go gravy.
Gravy.
Gravy. You put it on everything. You put it on your turkey. You put it on yep. your mashed potatoes. Yep. You put it on your stuffing. It's as versatile as it gets. You hope it just drowns your plate, basically. Stay away from the sweet potatoes, but gravy. I feel good about that one.
Okay. I'm up. I love the food. I love the football.
Okay.
But you know my favorite part about Thanksgiving? The post-Thanksgiving dinner. Nap.
It's a good one.
The nap.
That's a good
the
one.
The tryptophan. Your belly's full. You're not moving. There's a football game on you don't give a crap about other than I'm watching it to avoid my relatives that I don't want to talk to in this moment. And you just kind of slink into the chair and slowly but surely. The post-Thanksgiving meal. Nap.
Good call.
Are we snaking? Or
no, no snaking.
No, no
you got
snaking.
The first pick. It's a huge advantage. Now oh, you get the
right
first pick
you.
In the second round.
All right, so far, number one pick, picking at the leftovers. Number two pick, gravy. Number yep. three pick, the post-game nap.
I have to take this now. And Brent, I thought you were just about to take a certain thing. Now I'm not going to take that thing. I'll let you know what it is. This is a no-brainer. I do not know how football fell here, but
all I
do is watch sports no matter what. So football.
Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes you just pick the best player available. That was the best player available. Pick. Don't get too cute with it. That was a good pick by you. Well done.
Football is a Thanksgiving thing, but it's not like – it's part of Thanksgiving, but it's not at the heart of Thanksgiving, right? But it's got to be on the list, right? So I'm glad it made the top five.
Just I'm antisocial, solid pick. So I'm just watching football and talking to as few people as possible.
You just picked the like everybody needs a left tackle. You got the left tackle.
Quentin Nelson.
You got Quentin Nelson. You got to protect the quarterback. Good job.
All right, so.
Back to Tommy.
This is something you only eat at Thanksgiving time.
Right.
I got gravy, but gravy, that's a year-round thing. That guy plays all year round. This guy only plays on that Thursday in November.
And that is?
Stuffing. That's the second-round pick.
Son of a bitch.
Stuffing is fantastic.
Took my pick.
You drown that puppy in gravy, so I've got already a dynamic duo on my draft board. I feel pretty good about they've got great chemistry. They're going to work together on the court very well. Gravy and stuffing, my top two picks. I feel fine. And I stole your pick, which
you
makes
stole
even
my
better.
Pick, which is probably going to make you a lot happier about that. I should have went with stuffing in, with my first pick.
You could have got the nap a lot later.
I felt like I could have had it. I could have got the. I pulled a Daniel Jones with the nap. I reached for it, went too high. All right. Okay. Now, with the sixth overall pick here, I feel like I got to go with the standard here, but specifically fried turkey. Fried, deep fried freaking turkey.
Never had it.
Oh, you are missing out, my friend.
I think you're right, but I've never had it.
Go fry turkey or go home. The brine is great. If you're just a traditional oven roasted turkey person, I'm with you, okay? But the fried turkey, man.
Do you do it yourself?
No, my stepfather does it.
Out in the driveway?
In the garage. Which, maybe I shouldn't say this because I don't think this will make the draft, but that's part of like you get outside, crisp fall day, the turkey's frying.
Turkey bowl.
Have an adult beverage or two, right? So fried turkey, man. That is the way
good
to
pick.
Go.
I've never had it though, so it wasn't on my board.
Back to Jordan.
I'm stuck between two things, but I don't think I have enough food on my plate.
Okay.
I'm going to take, I need a food item.
Yeah.
I'm going to take starches. Can I take take potatoes and corn?
No, you got to pick something.
No, because
no,
I
want to
put my corn
something.
In the mashed potatoes and mix it around.
You
That's
gotta,
not fair.
No, you got to be specific. You can't go a category. That covers a lot of things. The rolls, the corn, the potato. Stuffing
potatoes,
is technically
then.
A starch.
Potatoes.
Is that your
not
pick?
Not just mash, though. So if there's a baked
off.
Potato, I want it.
No, you got to be specific. There could be yams. There could
yes,
be,
exactly.
I mean, come on.
Oh, my goodness.
Stop hedging here. You're like the Vikings. You're going to lose your pick.
Give me mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes. That's a solid pick, right?
Pick.
Plus, you can yell it while people are on their backswing and they get mad.
There you go.
All right.
You can't screw up mashed potatoes.
No, that's a good pick. Third rounder. Surprised it fell that far in the draft.
I almost got corn, too.
My pick is a bit of a sleeper, but I'm going to take it in the third round here. You know in elementary school that you when you would outline your hand to make a turkey? That's my third round pick. That was fun, and I miss doing that. Outlining your hand to make a turkey.
Every grandmother in the world still has that. And it shows up on the table. Little Tommy in fourth grade. Little Tommy turkey.
It's either a turkey or how many touchdowns Jonathan Taylor had against the Bills.
Oh, that's a great pick.
Thank you.
That's a great pick. The hand turkey.
Yes.
We'll call it the. My God. I love that.
There's elementary school kids. There's millions of elementary school kids coming home with that picture that is being put on their fridge by their parents today. I got that in the third round.
Oh, I love that so much. Okay, back to me. Let's recap the draft quickly because I don't want to eat into your double down.
A little
time
too late. But keep going.
No, I won't recap. It's going to keep going.
Yeah,
we got a few more picks here.
Oh yeah, one more round.
Okay, this a distinct Thanksgiving item unless you are Mel Kiper Jr. who eats this every day for breakfast. Pumpkin pie. Now, there's a lot of Christmas songs that have pumpkin pie in it, but pumpkin pie to me, that's Thanksgiving, man. That is something you only eat on Thanksgiving. You probably wonder, why don't I eat this more? And then you forget about it, unless you're Mel Kiper Jr. Pumpkin pie.
Whipped cream or Cool Whip?
Cool Whip.
Really?
Cool Whip.
Wow.
Why do you say it that way? Cool Whip.
Surprised by that. I'm a whipped cream guy.
Back to Jordan.
Final pick, right?
Yeah.
Final pick for you.
Last correct. Round.
Yep.
As I've already discussed, I'm antisocial. I would like forced beers to interact with family members you don't know very well. It's kind of wordy, but you know what I mean? When you have a couple of beers, just so you can start mingling with the family you don't know as well.
Get loose. You want you like getting loose with some alcoholic beverages.
Beers to get loose.
Yeah.
So alcohol. Okay.
Yes. My last pick, and I would like someone to know if this is a legal pick, because he already picked football, but I love seeing the players on Sunday Night Football bite into that turkey leg. So,
NBC
does that after every game, every Thursday, the Thanksgiving game, the late night game. They give three turkey legs out, two or three, to the best two or three players that night.
What? Turducken, right?
The turkey leg.
Yeah, I was going to say, Madden did the turducken, and that kind of evolved.
That I say this.
Turkey leg.
Can I make an audible? Can I make an audible? Because my hand was still on the chest.
You're not off the clock.
That's not going to be my pick.
Okay, what is your pick?
The Thanksgiving and the cornucopia on the score bug for all the football games. It makes the game so much better.
That's a terrible
I like
pick.
The
what's with you and cornucopia?
That's a terrible pick.
Don't get me started on the FS1 score
terrible
bug for
pick.
College basketball. No. What do you mean?
A terrible
that's a great pick.
You're picking a television graphic.
I'm picking the score bug that all of the I like seeing the cornucopias, the leaves,
garbage.
The turkey. I like seeing all that around my score bug while I'm watching football and my pants are on.
Is this a producer or what?
I'm about to bury you.
I already won the draft. I could have picked
you. Did win the draft with the little turkey. I'm going to grant you that. With the 12th and final pick in our Thanksgiving draft, the parade, the Thanksgiving Day parade.
It's a good pick.
It's a tradition. The big balloons.
I love watching the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Santa comes at the end.
I
mean, what could you do?
I love it.
The random bands and dances and, you know what's great about the parade? And we got a break, but when they do like the awkward lip syncing and
it's great.
It's like some pop star that's randomly on like the Sesame Street float and they're lip syncing and it's like
with
weird.
Barney behind them.
I just love it.
Oh, it's beautiful. That's a great pick, Brent. I'm jealous of it, but I stand by my draft.
There you go. You're the graphic on the
TV. I like the score bug. I'm telling you, watch it and you see all the leaves around the NBC, the CBS, the Fox score bug, and you'll think this is
you had the best and worst pick in this draft.
No, I feel good about it.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll wrap up the show next. Stay right there.